In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In the epistle this morning, St. Paul gives us a wonderful image in that passage, and an image that has spoken to Christians for centuries. Passage has a double context for us that's very important, of course. First of all, this comes to us at the end of the letter to the Ephesians. It's the summing up of the practical section. That is the completion of the practical advice. Ephesians having, you know, theory and then practice. Not a bad way to set things up. St. Paul gives us some instruction for the Christian life and starts off here telling us to stand. Stand, he says. He says it three times. It's so important. Don't run away. Don't desert. Don't disobey. Stand. And then think about what it is and who it is that we're fighting. Because we're not fighting against some human enemy. We're engaged in battle against spiritual forces. These are the shock troops of the evil one. The angels that deserted and enlisted in the enemy's army. Vile beings that will exert every power that they have to turn us aside from God's ways and slyly insinuate that we should follow our own way instead. And if that makes you think of every Disney movie ever made, you know, follow your heart. You're right. So how do we fight such enemies? Well, before we get there, that second context for us is that St. Paul's in jail when he writes this. He's in jail for preaching the gospel. He may have even been chained to his guard. Looking at this guard, this Roman soldier, every day, he takes what he sees and then uses that to apply the truth about spiritual warfare that we need to know. Now, any one of these six parts of armor of God could form the basis of a whole series of sermons, but we're only going to look at those quickly and briefly. We all know what a Roman soldier looked like. We've all seen those sword and sandal epic movies. Many of us grew up watching things like Demetrius the Gladiator on late Saturday night movies. But let's look at those six parts of the whole armor of God. It's a list. And of course, you remember that St. Paul loved making lists. One thing that we miss, however, in hearing the English translation is that in Greek, they rhyme and they have meter. He was actually writing a poem about these things. First off is the belt of truth. It's a Roman soldier had a wide leather belt that held his sword and other gear. And when he cinched it up, it held in his tunic from interfering with his freedom of movement. Sort of like these things, right? Keeps him out of the way. Well, the truth holds our swords and our other gear. And when belted in tight, it holds other things of ours that might interfere with our ability to fight. The truth of God is a critical starting place for us because the truth is the last thing that the enemy wants us to have. For the truth is, the enemy is already defeated. He was defeated by Christ on the cross, and we're now involved in the mopping up operation, if you will. But truth is a tricky concept in the modern day, even for modern Christians, because God's truth is absolute. It's not relative. No matter how much our secular world likes to talk about your truth and my truth, and that may be true for you, but right? That's not how things actually are in reality. Of course, the whole concept of reality is what's up for grabs, isn't it? One of the constant frustrations for Christian clergy is the typical conversations you have with people on the street, or I'm sad to say even people in the church. And you know ones I mean. You know, if I go out with my collar on, someone inevitably will start a conversation telling me, oh, I know the church teaches whatever, but I don't believe that. I believe in, and they make up something else, which they've usually made up out of their wild imaginations. That's because the adversary loves to attack the truth. And he wins a small battle every time a Christian thinks that truth can be relative. So St. Paul tells us to belt up with the truth. Then the of righteousness is the breastplate that covers our heart, that the flak vest, if you will, protecting the center of our being. Peace is the foot covering. Roman soldiers wore sandals with hobnailed soles, sandals that would not only protect their feet, which of course are critical for an infantry, but they give the soldier good, solid traction. Peace keeps our feet firm and steady, because the adversary likes to whisper and backbite, and it's peace that will keep us standing solid against the foe. In one of those prayers that priests pray quietly at every Mass, we pray for the peace and unity of the Church, because we know how important peace is. It gives us, the whole Church, a solid basis. Faith is our shield, and we use that to quench the fiery darts, as Paul loves to call them, of the enemy. Salvation, which we would probably think of as the purpose, right, is not. It's just another piece of armor. Salvation is our helmet, protecting our thoughts and our minds so that we can focus on our real purpose, which is not our own salvation. We're not here to set up some kind of a me and Jesus corporation, but we're here to work for the salvation of the world as we engage in battle, the destroyer of souls. Well, finally, we come to the sword of the Spirit. I had a friend tell me once that the favorite word that I use in my sermons, at least his favorite, is finally. We come to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Paul tells us. Well, in religious art, we see Paul. I should have checked earlier. We don't have. Nope. Okay. In religious art, St. Paul is usually shown with a sword. And in most cases, it's because he was beheaded by the sword. Well, in heraldry, that science of blazoning and emblazoning achievements of arms, St. Paul is represented by an open book and the short sword of the Roman legionary with the word Spiritus Gladius, or sword of the Spirit. Now, I fenced in college, and we never used anything like that sword. Our swords were light, just under 3 feet long. If you think of the phrase, my name is Inigo Montoya, that's the size of sword that we used, right? You kept the opponents well away. Well, St. Paul's sword in this gospel, the sword of the Roman legion, was only about a foot and a half long, double-edged. It was meant for close-in, hand-to-hand combat. And so what does St. Paul tell us that powerful weapon is? It's the word. So remember that in struggles with the evil one, whenever we're shown our Lord talking in Scripture, he fights him with the words of Scripture. The collect for the second Sunday of Advent, which we'll be hearing in just about a month, I think, actually, says, Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. It's perhaps ironic that in my other life as a professor I occasionally give assignments and say, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this reading assignment. And every once in a while, you'll see a head pop up. That sounds familiar, but unfortunately, they probably aren't sure why. They may have heard it once in their life somewhere. Notice that only one of these six parts of armor is offensive. The first five are defensive. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right balance of what we should be doing, but nevertheless, how can we use this armor and that weapon? First off, we can pray. Paul tells us, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Do we boldly declare the gospel for which we are ambassadors? Declaring the gospel is the work for which Paul tells us we have put on the whole armor of God. It wasn't just so that we could stand about and admire one another in our pretty armor, all shiny and unscarred. So how boldly can we declare that gospel for which we're called to be ambassadors? To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end.